production.
Hey, welcome back, or just welcome to Taking It Down, which is the pop culture podcast from Analytical Alabama TV Loving Minds. This is the podcast produced by the site thealabamatake.com. It's one of many. You can find more writings, musings, podcasts, specifying thoughts on pro wrestling, to books, to sports, to them damn Star Wars. I'm one of the hosts of Taking It Down. My name's Blaine Duncan. Here's why it's me. It's often that I find myself trying to determine why I like what I like and why I dislike what I dislike. I put my English teacher's mind to work to contemplate how films, TV, books, and music are put together. And I was once your classic kid who grew up in front of a television set and was thrilled to visit a movie theater for my entertainment. But my ideas aren't the only set of viewpoints here. With me every week is Adam Morrow, an erudite musician with a penchant for fine literature. Donovan Reinwald, a media specialist with encyclopedic knowledge on film and more. And Natalie Morrow, the first person to ask about Marvel, Lord of the Rings, really any sci-fi or fantasy, trashy reality TV, and Beyonce. So this week, let me cover what we're going to talk about, then I'll let everybody say hello to you. We're going to discuss Disney Plus, She-Hulk, Welcome to Wrexham, and The Patient. That'll probably be the order we try to get all this in. Maybe some quicker than usual thoughts on all of that. Do you feel the autumn in the air? Well, let us be your buddies to talk about all that nice, warm fall TV you're watching. Here they are. He hates summer. It's Mr. Adam Morrow.
It's true. It's very true. I hate it. I will be the bitterest person in Alabama when it's inevitably above 90 degrees again here in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Here's the former coach of UConn football team. It's Mr. Donovan Reinwald.
For the sake of time, I'm just going to say hello.
Lastly, it's the lady who asks Wong what he likes to drink. It's Miss Natalie Morrow.
What does Wong like to drink?
He kind of ran through them. He ran through a lot.
The vodka and yak's milk?
Oh, my God.
I thought it was the gin and tonic.
That was his first reply.
That's right.
You got to go with that.
Because vodka and yak's milk he was never going to have again.
Donovan,
yeah,
I
got to turn off.
I got to backtrack here. Donovan, I didn't love that. You not giving me those sweet 5 to 7 seconds of a lean in. You don't have to do it. No, I'm not forcing you to. I'm just saying that's something I look forward to.
Thanks for having me, Blaine.
Oh man.
There it is for Adam and everyone else.
My week can go on as it should.
You know, speaking of Disney, we plowed right into Disney. Let's talk about Disney Plus. They had the big day yesterday, kind of weird for me anyway, because I'm sitting there watching college football and then I'm also getting updates on Disney Plus and watching a few trailers in between college football games. But I was pretty thrilled. Did you guys get a chance to see any of that news dump, trailer dump from Disney Plus?
Are you saying you're a big Little Mermaid fan, Blaine?
My daughter will be, I think. I think that might be the first movie we take her to ever, because she's obsessed with mermaids, and live-action mermaids, really, she's just thrilled by them.
Huh.
I mean, obviously, I can't speak for everyone else here, but I'm gonna watch the shit out of some Star Wars, so that Andor stuff is, I don't know, could be good.
The Andor trailer, was one of the bigger ones, and it's only gonna come out. It's only got 8 days, if we're talking about the day of this. Yeah, it's close.
I thought it was towards the end of the month.
Well, I don't want to surprise you, Donovan, but we are in the middle of the month right now.
Oh, my God.
It won't be one more week, and we'll be at the end of the month. See, this is how time works.
Says you.
Going too fast. It's like the ticking of the clock on the wall in Quentin's father's study.
The pocket watch.
That is how time works, yeah.
Yeah. Andor, though.
We'll see how it goes, but just the setting seems cool. Again, it could be terrible. The whole kind of like Rise of the Rebellion early is a period that they haven't really explored so much, and it was a lot of fun in Rogue One, and I guess I'm just kind of chasing that Rogue One high. So hopefully Andor scratches that itch. It looks cool. It's got Star Wars spaceships.
I haven't seen anything. I'm not going to lie. This is, long-time listeners know we record on Sunday. when Bama plays an 11 a.m. game, boy, that day just gets away from you.
Well, I would have no fault to you because I almost missed it. It's honestly a little later in the evening last night when I started realizing, wait, Disney had a press conference kind of day or whatever they call it, D23.
D23, right?
Well, we both of us kind of got on the downhill slide towards a concert that we went to last night here in town. So it was a busy day. Busy day in Florence.
Wait one damn minute. Who did you go see play some music?
I went to see a local musician named Mackenzie Lockhart, who is very good, has a lovely voice. She had an album release show.
Yeah, we like to shout out our local intake, you know, not just TV and movies, but when we go see concerts and stuff. It's fun. Yeah. Donovan hitting up some Dinosaur Jr. this week. I'm surprised he can hear.
I was right up at the front, right? This is neither here nor there. I was right up at the front, but I had my earplugs. I was ready.
Wisely.
Old Jay Massis really likes to, or however you say his last name, I'm not really sure. Is it Maskus?
Yeah.
He really likes to stab those amps. It's noisy.
There are multiple amps bigger than you, Donovan, on that stage, for sure.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it was kind of cool because it was at the old State House, which is in downtown Hartford. So that's a building from the very late 18th century. It was a cool, weird experience. And they've got like statues of on poles, little statues of like famous people from Connecticut history all surrounding the State House. It's a very interesting place to go see music.
I know it was crowded, but did you see Patrick Henry?
I did not.
Well, I'm sorry. Andor, though, does look promising. There's nothing to spoil. It's a trailer. I'm with Donovan. It's digging into some of the Star Wars lore that has gotten overlooked through focusing on the major plot points of the rebellion. How did it start? Seems as though it's going to kind of build up to Rogue One, however many seasons they decide to do. And then, I mean, that's an interesting ground floor level to do. I love the shots of them doing the spaceships from such a distance. It gives you the hint that these people are grassroots.
Yeah.
Plus you have Diego Luna, which is just eye candy, so we're all in.
Yeah, well, I never knew much about him until Rogue One, though.
I only knew about him because he was in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights, which came out when I was like in middle school, so he was like my crush.
Wow.
I'm learning a lot right now.
Opening up the vaults there. Secret Invasion got a trailer. Lots of Samuel L. Jackson.
I've heard it looks very paranoid. This is one I haven't watched because yesterday was a big college football game. To quote Hank Hill, Notre Dame lost the game.
It was great.
What more can you ask for? So I haven't seen a lot of these trailers. I haven't seen either.
Secret Invasion has a lot of Samuel L. Jackson, and it looks like it's going to have a lot of Ben Mendelsohn outside of makeup, which I really like him. What else? Emilia Clarke is also, she got a glimpse of Emilia Clarke in Secret Invasion. She's joining the MCU.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And not on a dragon.
That we know of.
That we know of, though. Those aliens that they deal with do have a very dragonistic look to them.
The Skrulls?
Mm-hmm. That's them. Thank you.
You think they look like dragons?
They look lizards.
Lizards.
Yeah, lizard people.
Here we go.
Nah.
Cue Lee Baines. All right. Well, that takes us very nicely into She-Hulk. We can really dissect a little more in depth. What is this, episode 4 of She-Hulk, where if you haven't watched it, you'll want to avoid this segment. We had Wong coming back for a lot more action. Jen Walters was...
She was getting laid. Well, not Jen Walters.
No, Jen Walters was, scrolling through a version of Tinder or something. And
I mean, I think I'm still sticking with what I said last week. I don't even remember what it was, but I feel good about what I said last week.
No. I remember. I added it to a couple things I wrote down here. You're basically saying it's just fun to visit the MCU and have a procedural, even if it's in procedural form, right? And yes. I thought this one accomplished that. I thought it accomplished exactly what you like about it and worked this time around for the most part.
What I thought about too, because I also, thanks to the Disney Plus Day mega drop of information, finally watched the latest Thor movie. And it reminded me, because I know it didn't get great reviews, which I thought it was, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. But it kind of reminded me that I think MCU viewers maybe are forgetting that there is source text for a lot of these stories. And a lot of times it's not just the Feige team writing these new things. A lot of times they're just going back, and the comic stuff sometimes just isn't great, and that's okay.
Huh.
It can just be entertaining, because some of them are staying pretty true to some of the comic stories, which are just whatever.
You summed it up perfectly last week. I ought to drop that audio in here, because everything you said, and I remember, and I was thinking this as I watched, I thought, man, everything Natalie likes about this show is happening this week, except decently or beyond. I'm damning it with faint praise. I thought it was pretty good this time around. Donovan, what'd you think?
I thought it was all right. You know, I think that's where I've landed on this show, that it's all right. It's 30 minutes that my brain doesn't work too hard. The jokes still mostly don't land for me, especially the breaking the fourth wall. I know I say that every week. I just am stuck on it. The breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't work for me. She talked about Twitter proofing because Wong's in there.
Yeah.
Donovan, do you think that you would, well, I guess this is two questions. What did you think about the Deadpool breaking the fourth wall? And two, if you had not seen that, are you like comparing the two? Because you can't compare the two, because one is so much better than the other. But had you not seen the Deadpool version, would you still dislike it as much?
I don't know. You know, the Deadpool breaking the fourth wall is fine, because especially that's one of the things that they pulled straight from the comics. Although it's still not my favorite thing. Question part two is a good question. I don't know. Maybe I just don't like being taken out of my superhero stories. Maybe that's what it is. Because even when Deadpool does it, it's just kind of fine.
As long as it's Tatiana Maslany or someone of that caliber, I'm down for the breaking the fourth wall, because she is so charming.
She is in this charming role.
And I find you really do have to suspend your disbelief to think that no one wants to date Tatiana Maslany. Like, come on.
Truly. That is the hardest thing about this entire series to grasp.
The guy who's like, she's a six at best. It's like, come on, man.
Dude, no.
The other thing to suspend your disbelief on is that she went on a date with some of these guys in the first place. Like, Jen, what are you doing?
How so?
There were no red flags with with some of the dates that she went on.
Yeah.
Especially that first guy.
Breaking the fourth wall and being much more meta than anything else Marvel's done, I find okay. It's fun. It's silly. It's a 30-minute procedural, like Natalie pointed out last week. I was accepting of that because Maslany and Benedict Wong are kind of fun together. They're not perfect, but then you throw in this addition of the character Madison. And I loved it. Like, when she started, like, when I first saw her in the Magician show, I thought, oh, God, we know this character. We've seen this archetype. I don't care. But, like, a couple minutes in, I thought, wow, you know, she is kind of funny. I could have sworn it was the lady from Ted Lasso. I could have sworn it was her. I'm wrong, though, right? It's not.
No.
It's a different actress.
Major spoilers for The Sopranos, if anyone hasn't gotten around to watching that.
No shit. Like, the big ones. Except for, there's a couple they left out, but yeah, you're right.
Two of the biggest ones, which I did, you know what, it made me chuckle that Wong was watching The Sopranos.
Yeah, exactly. That's a nice detail.
That was a fun little touch. Poor Wong got it spoiled for him. That was fun.
I'll give an example of this show still trying to find its path. The guy Donnie Flame, Wong was kind of after legally, he took the legal route, and that's okay. That's fine. Nice little procedural element. He had this old guy as a helper that I never understood that guy's purpose.
His hype man there.
Yeah.
Was weird.
But they didn't end up doing anything with him. It felt very odd. It just really felt like writing that was supposed to do something but did not. And I couldn't figure out if that was a comic book reference I was supposed to get about that guy. Natalie, do you know?
I don't know. I did see something. I can't remember exactly what it said. But apparently that actor is like over 100 years old or something.
No shit. Really?
Like, he's just like this like very old dude. And he didn't seem that way. I would never have guessed that, but I saw some article about that. Does it mean anything? I don't know, but it's just wild.
Maybe it was his dream to be in She-Hulk.
Well, maybe it was just like you have somebody on the screen that, because you can't ignore like the presence of certain people. And yes. Maybe he's just one of those guys that has a presence that make you think, oh, he's supposed to be important, but really is just a bit character that's not going to show up again.
100%. And why do that? I couldn't wrap my head around it. Not to say that it's completely horrible, but it really did read to me like the writers. It felt like something was on the cutting room floor with that guy. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. There's been a lot of, at least for me, there's been a lot of kind of that feel for this show where there's just like a little bit, they'll kind of introduce something and then seem to drop it a little bit.
It may be the amount of episodes they're getting or they're doing. There's, I think, 11. So they've got plenty more to come back to. But I get that assessment there, Donovan. If it continues to do this, because it does fluctuate, I thought it was a good example of how it can be decent entertainment, fun visit to the MCU.
More Wong, please.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Benedict Wong's answer to Madison's questions about drinks. It was the tag at the end. That was just like exactly what this show needs to be. That's exactly what it could do. It's, you know, it's funny. It's comedy. It's doesn't have a whole lot to do with the MCU, but we just get a little bit of peel back a layer on a character in a silly way, and that's exactly what Natalie was saying last week. So I'm glad it worked for me. You know, no one has to agree with me, but all right, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna shift gears pretty wildly from the MCU into something a little bit more reality-based, supposedly. Probably is. We'll talk Welcome to Wrexham on the back. Hey everyone, Taking It Down's produced by the Alabama Take, which you can visit by going to that site, as well as follow on all social media. That way you can be notified or see in your social media feed when anything new is happening related to the site. The Alabama Take are any podcast apps where you can also find the best book podcast ever. It's out once a month on the first Wednesday. It's called Check Your Shelf. Chapter 1 dropped at the beginning of this month. You can listen to Taking On Sports. It's going on a little bit of a two-week break. I know it's early in its run, but just some things you can't help there. But it will appear every Monday after that. This Song Sucks is scheduled to be out in the late fall. It's the weekly podcast that breaks down why certain songs, well, suck.
By a couple of weaklings, I might add.
Every Friday, Alabama Slam will be in your podcast feed. They cover what's happening in pro wrestling, especially AEW. You don't want to miss that if you're a wrestling fan. Lastly, coming in, let's say a week. It's kind of, we haven't settled on a day yet. It's called We're Star War. From three of our most avid Star Wars fans at the Alabama Take. See, this is why you need to be on social media with us, so you can just see this stuff and not have to rely on me of getting it all right. Plus, all our podcasts are on the YouTube channel if you'd like to subscribe there. If you want to help the site continue, we do have hosting fees. We are self-run. Please visit the site, click on shop, get yourself something done up real good, or click on Venmo or PayPal and just make a small donation. Let's get back into it. FX Hulu show Welcome to Wrexham. We covered 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago. We're still watching it. How many episodes are on there now, Adam? Is it four or six?
Up to six. But they're putting two out a week, so you could be forgiven for thinking it's a lower number.
The two a week makes it very like bingeable, so the episodes kind of like blur together.
So. Yeah, and you almost, they know that you're going to watch both of them. You know what I mean? Whereas if it was an hour-long thing, I could see, I mean, most people, I would assume, over 75% are like, I'll just watch both, even though they may not commit to an hour-long program. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, the one episode usually sets up the next one.
Yeah.
So that you end up watching both. I've fluctuated a bit on the first four episodes. Sometimes I don't think I care as much as the producers think I do on a few of the people in Wrexham, and then they'll hit you with something like the guy who fronts a band and is getting chemotherapy. He sort of reminds us as viewers to enjoy the small moments, and I just, you know, love that kind of stuff. I'm a sucker for anything like that. And
you know what I was a sucker for was the woman who was, I can't remember her name, but she was one of the women with the 96-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a sucker for her getting emotional, talking about them saving the team, basically, from their horrible former owner who was trying to basically asset mine the team. And that was just it. I was such a sucker for it because it felt like such a sweet moment, and it really showed you what the team means to the town, that you have this older woman who's, you know, dabbing away tears as she's describing almost losing the team and then what they did to get it back.
Yeah, it's doing those moments great. Adam, how are you feeling about six episodes?
I thought episode five was one of the best portraits of fandom, and specifically soccer fandom, that I've ever seen. I think that we talked about this a bit after the first couple episodes. Your commitment to your local team is so much more profound. I guess the closest thing we would have is kind of being born into a college fandom, but it's deeper than that to me, because it's every town has a team. You kind of, the fortunes of the team mirror the town a lot of the time, and you end up, you know, like the woman who talked about her husband having a heart attack at work, and like he went to work that day and didn't come home, and she shows where her seat is in the stadium and says, well, sometimes I get excited and I spill some of my tea forward, but it lands on... She knows everybody around her because she's sat in the same seat, and they've sat in the same seat forever. And I think that there's something about certain sports that the nature of the sport lends itself to more kind of existential thinking than other sports. And I think soccer is definitely one of those, and it was just a beautiful, I mean, you talk about getting emotional. Episode five was like, yeah, this is why I love watching sports.
Yeah.
Even the players saying, you know, everything is really just memory. Your entire life is just memory aside from what's happening right now. So I try to be present the whole time. You don't hear a lot of football players waxing poetic about embracing the moment like that, or how time works, or any of these things. And I think maybe it's to do with being in a town that's been there for so long, and in a stadium that's been there for so long, and kind of recognizing that you're part of this greater continuum. I don't know. But I thought episode five, I texted a buddy who's a big soccer fan. We always are texting about Premier League stuff, and said, dude, I don't know if you've made it to this episode, but you gotta stick with it and at least make it this far. And I mean, not to hate on old Ryan and Rob, but I thought that one specifically, they needed to not be in an episode. They needed to show Americans who haven't watched every available streaming version of these shows like I have, like what's happening in these small towns and why it's special. And why you should care. You know, Blaine, it's like you said, they want us to care a lot about these supporters and these players, and maybe hadn't done all they could do to accomplish that goal. And I thought getting out of the way and just letting us as viewers live in that world for a half hour was a great move. And it set up, you know, you said they often pair well together. It set up episode six perfectly, which, you know, obviously they want to look like the good guys. Like, they show what has been done wrong in the past, and they are the good guys if it really has gone down like they're portraying it. But yeah, you kind of needed that setup to then show some rich dudes in Hollywood throwing money around.
Natalie, do you watch this show with Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. What do you think?
I think it's been a really, for me, just getting the perspective of that smaller, you know, it's a smaller team, it's a smaller club, in a smaller town, but the commitment and the history that's involved with that. Like, my personal experience, you know, growing up in Dallas and then moving to Tuscaloosa, where they are big sports, and, you know, got the Cowboys and then Bama, obviously. Like, yeah, it's embedded in the town, in the city that you're living in, but it's almost so huge that you don't quite, it's hard to understand that level of commitment that folks in Wrexham have to just, so to see that and to kind of see, you kind of understand it in a scaled way, but not really, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. because of that, the history that they have there, it's been really interesting to me. And just like, you know, Donovan and Adam said about the stories that the folks have, you know, I think it's so compelling. And even if you're not like big into sports, I think you could really get into, you know, these people's stories and just watching good television.
It's kind of working on a thesis that these small football clubs in the UK affect so much, if not everything, or even mirror, like Adam was talking about, they mirror the town itself or the people within the town. I was like you guys, trying to make some sort of comparison. Being an Alabama fan certainly means that much to a lot of people, but we don't have to raise money to keep Bryant Denny.
Right.
We don't have to chip in $15 a month to make sure Coach Saban sticks around. That's so unique, but they are doing a good job of contextualizing that. And I'll tell you the one that really got me is, and it was just a shot, where the guy's kind of endearing to me. He's recently divorced and he's trying to be a good dad at the same time and trying to be a good fan to his team as well. And he took one of his sons to the game, and he's the shot is just the kid falling asleep and he's holding his hand, but yeah. also cheering the team.
Yeah.
Dude, that one got me. That got me.
The way that they set up that game, the game they use specifically, like they only ended up getting a draw, right?
But That's right.
The fact that they showed kind of the underdog battle that most of these people are in, and then had the coach, which I laughed so hard, Natalie just stared at me. The eloquence and the artistry of British cursing is wonderful to behold. He said something with the F word and fatty and footballers.
Yes.
In like a bunch where the F word like
fucking football.
Yeah, but it was two fucks in that, and they were different. Blaine, your English teacher's gonna have to help me here. Different parts of, like one was a verb and one was a noun. Like it was clearly doing a lot,
exactly.
Some heavy lifting there, and the alliteration was just beautiful. But you know, they show them, or show this coach who is from a higher level, you know, has done this before, kind of chewing the team out and sending them back out there, and then they get the goal. And like, that's the beauty of soccer, is they didn't win that game. They just got a draw, you know? And these are people in the stands who, maybe that's part of what I was saying. It lends itself to some philosophy, you know, outside of just the game. That sometimes getting a draw is a great outcome. You know, if you're, like you're talking about the divorced dad and the guy fighting cancer and all this stuff.
Yeah.
When they cut back after some of those stories and that was like the soft, like saxophone theme that keeps coming up and the players in slow-mo, it's like, oh man, it's getting me. It got me.
Yeah, yeah. Win. Please win. Adam, I mentioned to me in private, I think it was me, you, and Donovan, honestly, but you said you want to shake Ryan and Rob sometimes. What made you think that?
some of the things that they get really impatient about, I'm like, how did you not see that coming? Or some of the methods that they are trying to use to improve the team are kind of, they're hiring smart people around them to maybe deal with the actual details of how a team functions, how athletes work, all that stuff. But like when they were you know, you're dealing with the oldest, they've said it a gabillion times, the oldest international football ground in the world, and they want it to move at the speed of, like, Los Angeles real estate. It's like, this is not Wales and in the UK and the way that they do all their, you know, you're dealing with a different country and should have a little perspective on that, perhaps. That's all I meant by that.
Oh, no, I was going to say, there's the one guy who's like, some of these laws were drawn up in the 1400s,
Yeah,
they weren't exactly anticipating you.
but how excited are you guys to see the upgrades?
Very, if it plays out.
How excited?
Yeah, how excited are I? Yeah, exactly. Do they get? I do want to ask one question for anyone who can answer. How much of the show and the results have been spoiled for you, and are they doing a good job of avoiding that?
They're so far down, you know, that it's not like when I ingest quite a bit of soccer news throughout the average week, and this is literal leagues below stuff that comes across my radar. So, and people have been pretty good. I did wonder if when the show started, if people would start following their results more. You know, I mean, the ultimate spoiler is, are they going to get promoted? How many times can they get promoted? All of that. And I've intentionally not looked it up, but I mean, it would be pretty easy, but it's hidden away enough that I kind of a smart move if you're making a documentary, I guess. It's not, if it was a championship club, it would be harder to avoid the news.
Same thing. This is all a Wikipedia search away from being spoiled, but I figure why, you know, keep a little of the suspense in it.
Yeah. A lot like Last Chance U from Netflix.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily matter even more than Last Chance U, because I still want to hear the stories that they're telling, you know, that have really nothing to do with the results. Like, obviously, I want good things to happen now that I know more of these people.
I'd almost be fine with less Ryan and Rob in the series. Like Adam pointed out with episode 5, if there was an episode where they could have just cut them out. That's one where, and some of the, like Adam was saying, some of the stuff that they get worked up about, you're kind of like, I don't care about this so much. I want to go back to the town or the team or the players and see what's, you know, check in with them. I don't necessarily care about them being on the phone with each other and being frustrated because they got a draw.
Right. And there's a huge factor that it feels stitched together a bit because they are never in Wrexham. At least not yet. And sometimes they aren't even in the same room in Los Angeles or the West Coast. It's a big stitch. Yeah. It can be almost jarring to get back to them.
Yeah.
That might be the biggest fault of the show, to figure out how they need to weave in those two guys. And because their side of the story is, I think, important. I don't ever cringe or get frustrated when they jump back to them. But at the same time, it's too much of piecemeal rather than a clear narrative that weaves in and out. Let's stay with Hulu. The Patient. Only one episode this week, so it looks like they're going to go the one episode a week route with about 25-minute episodes. Boy, they just give you a nibble almost, don't they?
Boy, that's exactly the way it feels. It's your little piece of kibble here.
Yeah, exactly. My minor issue with Gleason's portrayal of the serial killer kind of eased up a bit this week.
So that's what I've been waiting to ask you, is if you felt that menace from him yet.
Yeah.
And I think it was there this week.
Especially it was there a little bit. Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that was the scene that I needed as a viewer to get on board with him being dangerous and scary. And it was only an ease into it. The first 15 minutes or so, I was still very much the same kind of character he's been playing. But I just think he's getting a little bit more used to the role, too. It seems as though that's the case. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I still read it more as someone who's got a lot going on beneath the surface. That's how it seemed to me that he's playing it. I said this last week, too. But someone who, you know, he's kind of, even with the tics that he's employing, where he's kind of like rubbing his fingers, or he's always drinking the coffee and stuff like that.
For sure.
It seemed like that was more, it was more that he was someone with kind of trying to stop himself from boiling over. At least that's how I read.
Yeah, and that played out. So I think that's an okay. That's a viable interpretation. I am intrigued a lot by the flashbacks of the Orthodox son Ezra and his mom and their relationship and how that is going to echo anything with Sam and his mother, because we get the reveal that it was his mother on the staircase there.
Yes. Which did you expect? Were you totally surprised by that, or were you just like, oh, that makes
sense? That was my exact reaction. I thought, yeah, that's right. In fact, I'm not so sure if it didn't cross my mind maybe once throughout the week before I watched.
That it might be as well.
What about you? Did it shock you?
It wasn't a total shock, except poor Steve Carell has yet, or Dr. Whatever. Poor Steve Carell has yet another person to beg for his freedom from. But
exactly. And it is a little bit of a wrinkle to have the mom know that her son kills or is wanting to kill people and needs help. He killed the dad, right? That's exactly where this is going.
It seems like probably he did. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe not, though. Maybe he really did just leave.
I don't know. It would be obvious if he did, but the show's good enough that obvious can be okay. I mean, a lot of this last episode was expected. But bringing in the guy from the restaurant, that's pretty disturbing, even if it is. You expect something like this to eventually happen, because he's blindfolded and taped up in the next room.
Yeah, and he just drags him through. And props to Steve Carell for playing it without... You know, he doesn't like scream, or he could just kind of stares in horrified fascination, which I thought was a really good way to play it, because you it's kind of mirroring you, the viewer, right? Like you're kind of like, obviously this is horrific, but I also want to know what's going to happen next.
These showrunners, also famous for The Americans, boy, they really do like to examine family and the effects that family have on individuals.
Absolutely.
You know, and even that's not wildly different than The Americans, despite the story being pretty different.
I mean, the Americans was all about the story of a marriage and the relationship that kids have with parents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And right now it seems like they're kind of mining some of those same themes with, at least in those flashbacks, like you said.
With mother and son relationships.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then mirroring it with, you know, where Dr. Strauss says, let's try some family therapy. Mm-hmm. And can you, you know, when you feel the urge to hurt someone, can you think of your mother and want to protect your mother? Yeah, that same kind of stuff that they were exploring in The Americans with, like, how do children and parents relate to each other?
Mm-hmm. And what happens when a parent does one particular thing versus another? How does that spiral into good or bad?
And it seems interesting that this time they're choosing to focus on, well, maybe not interesting, but I thought noteworthy. They're choosing to focus on, it seems, specifically the relationship between adult children and parents, which is kind of a little bit of a wrinkle.
Yeah, good call. I love it when a show takes a very normal, universal thing, like relationship between moms and sons, and drops it into a much heightened situation, like serial killers or Soviet spies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that stuff always works for me.
That mix of the relatable and the high tension, the high drama.
Right, the relatable and then dash in some enthrallment.
Yeah.
And it's just working so well for me. And then chop it up into 25-minute bits. And, you know, it's not necessarily the greatest show ever, but it's got all the right ingredients.
It goes down easy so far, and it seems, at least to me at least, to be headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious as to where this is going to go, because is this going to be how many seasons are they envisioning and that kind of thing? How long can they keep him tied up in the basement? So it seems like
if they keep doing flashbacks, they could for a while.
They could, but it does seem like they've kind of written themselves some problems if they want to go more than one season. And I have no idea what their expectations for this are. Is it just I haven't heard anything about it being just a limited series or anything. So I presumably they want more than one series season.
They have not tagged it with the limited series label at all that I've heard, nor have they talked about a certainty of releasing a second season.
Right.
So we'll see. I'm sure in the next few weeks they usually take in their ratings and make a decision before a show ends its first season or shortly after. It's been the case of late. Yeah, we recommend The Patient, especially if you want an engaging show and you don't have a lot of time every week.
Yeah.
This is the one.
I do think it works well as a drama, even though it's happening mm-hmm. in kind of smaller bites.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that it might, some of the believability might drop if it was a 45-minute or 50-minute show.
That's an interesting thought. Yeah, if it would stretch it out too long.
Exactly.
If any of you out there binge it, let us know if the believability drops for you, because that would
for sure
be a similar experience.
Be really interesting. You'd have to wait a few weeks, but please do. That's good stuff. You come back and you've watched it, and you come back and listen to us. Let's set up next week. A little seems like it's 100% certain we're going to be talking about the Apple TV Plus movie that releases on Monday, Raymond and Ray. It's got Ethan Hawke and Ewan McGregor.
Oh, I was going to say no more. You know, Ethan Hawke and Ewan McGregor. That's
seems like it's tailor-made for Adam Morrow as well as a few of us here. Definitely going to cover that. We may have things to say about other shows and movies. So talk to you all next week. Thanks for joining us.